Episode of Cubs Out Loud, we are bringing you some more special news bulletins. The hosts come back together after a hiatus to catch up and discuss some recent online articles. From compersion to polyamory to three dudes that get married, we discuss the wide world of relationships from a Cubby point of view. These headlines and more as COL 306 starts now. March 29, 2015. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast. This has been determined length, episode number 306. And are you ready? All right. So that was totally an inside joke, but any case.
Yeah. Already.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So
then let's begin.
Let's go like this. A lot of work. That's pretty much it. Well, we got up to Blast Furnace on Heroic in my routine, and we're trying to get a mythic, one of the high mall mythic bosses down, an additional one. So hopefully we got pretty close last night, so that's pretty good. So hopefully by the time you hear this, we'll be good. You know, after 3 weeks of hearing the same show, instead of, at least it was over 3 weeks instead of 3 hours.
Hmm.
A lot to talk about for North American Bear Weekend.
I thought it was more fair if we not take up half a person's work day. Yeah.
And it also means that it's like, oh, so we got an extra show. That means another week off. All right. Oh, no.
No. Okay. No.
Oh, we're going to record. So, yeah. So let's. Oh, we already did that part. Damon.
Okay, so actually, hopefully I'll have more news. More news will happen by this time, but the house hunt is over. Yay! We found a house we like, and we put in an offer on the Friday before this recording, which is technically Friday the 13th, kind of an apropos day for us. And then offer was countered, then we countered back, and then they countered with another offer. And at that time, apparently another buyer was looking into the house. And while all this is happening, the owners of the home are technically in bumfuck Tennessee or someplace. I don't really know. So their wireless reception was spotty, so they couldn't really answer all their realtors' questions, but whatever. Anyway. So yesterday, Saturday, I was working with my realtor to get a response back, and he kind of basically said, yes, there's other people offering, what do you want to do? Do you really like this house? If you really do, then we need to look at what we want to offer them. And if you are okay with losing the house, then, you know, keep your bid to kind of the same and see what happens. So I countered with a little higher offer because we really like this house. And we decided, they finally agreed to it and accepted it and everything was cool. So yay, we are in the process because there's still the inspections and appraisals and all that fun shit that's going to happen. I actually have a call later on today to figure out what I need to do. So, yeah. But for now, the house hunted over.
Yay!
Celebration.
Yes.
Celebrate good times. I would have an applause, but for some reason it's not playing.
Oh.
Because I already played it. Anyways. Moving on, Gary.
What day is it?
The 29th.
No, basically every day is busy for me anymore. The run is just weeks away, and now we're having weekly committee meetings, and I'm meeting with other individuals. Everything's just busy. Work is busy. The podcast is busy. Damon and I are recording two episodes a week right now.
which is cool. Which is not my fault, which also means that I'm posting two shows a week, which also means that I have to... Well, we haven't figured out her name yet, but I need to get a recording from her name, whatever it is going to be. The latest was like Pollen.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just it's been busy. What was it last week? Had a committee meeting, had a dinner, had a function. Oh, had a recording on Thursday night. Then had to take the car in on Friday morning to get the headlight replaced on the headlight the headlight assembly they just put in a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
I got to go back to the dealership again because last night I discovered my high beams don't work.
Oh no.
Anyways. Like the headlights work, the high beams don't. It just, I'm like, really?
Ha ha.
So
turn on your high beam, girls.
So yeah, it's been busy. I'm just like, everything's a whirl. It'll be like this probably till the end of April, but that's okay.
But that's okay. Sometimes it's good to be busy, and just, you know, to counter, my life is probably going to get really busy here in, a month. Yeah. So yeah. Busy, busy, busy. It's okay to be busy, I think. I like a little busy.
I agree.
Excellent.
All right.
Now, let's go into this. Well, at least that played.
Yeah.
I think we're having after effects of Friday the 13th.
Mm.
What do we got for feedback from Facebook, Gary?
We have a handful of people that liked us on Facebook, and those are Claude Dominic, Cody Duke Anderson, Danny Fedor, Eduardo Moraima, I guess, and Jeff Fulkerson.
Huh.
So thank you all for liking us on Facebook. Yes. Getting us just a easy bit closer to 1,000.
Ah.
Hey, and guess what, folks? I figured out how to find your reviews on Stitcher.
Yay!
Woohoo!
There's actually like a video. If you don't know how to, you can look it up to leave a review. We got 4, 5 out of 5 stars from COL fan a year ago saying, frankly hilarious. This crew has something to offer any podcaster who encounters it. Downright silly at times, yet also very thought-provoking at other times.
Aw.
As we all sit here and stroke our chins. Anyway. Yeah.
That sounds like when Kermit lost his memory in the Muppets Take Manhattan, the frogs that he was hanging out with. They would go,
And see, I was thinking of the Dark Crystal. When the Skeksis, who's annoying everybody else, he does that all the time. All his thinking is these.
God.
Anyways,
80s kids.
Thank you, Jim Henson, for giving my childhood some pleasant memories. Anyways,
yes. All righty.
Moving on, I think I used to have the sound for this. Hmm. Now it's time for Gary's word of the week.
So yes, it's Urban Dictionary time, children's. Episode 303, if you listen to it from the Kentucky Run, Mr. Damon and myself had a conversation with the Cubs. And they decided to insert a reference, which has been around actually for a couple of years. And on Urban Dictionary, it's known as dat blank dough, as in the middle word is a blank and you can fit anything into it. So it's a catchphrase that basically is a euphemism for something is particularly awesome. So in that episode, they decided to say dat dick dough. Sometimes you probably heard it as dat ass dough, as in check out dat ass dough. So.
Or sometimes it's more of like a compliment to someone despite their face. Like that, you know, you're ugly as shit, but that ass though.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's not that ass though. It's that ass dough. Yeah.
So in case you heard that in episode 303 when Vince made a point of saying, about that dick dough.
About that dick dough.
Because they were being all shady and stuff, so.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
So that's your Urban Dictionary word of the week. Try to put that in your Funkin' Wagnalls and try to use that in a conversation. Really?
And if you don't get that, kids, just search Leffen. Anyways, moving
on. News on the mark!
It's that time again, kids, where we talk a little bit about what's been in the news. Gary, what do we got for this week?
This Hostful News Update episode is all about sex.
Sex, sex.
Let's talk about sex. Oh, I don't have that.
That's okay.
Oh, gotta put that into my template now.
We got a couple of articles, a handful that are very interesting, I think, and thought-provoking about sex. The first one, now, notably the first two, are written by women or from a woman's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was just really intrigued by them. The first one we'll start with is from Huffington Post, and it's about a polyamorous relationship. And there's a new word I hadn't heard of before. And they say in the article, the only place you're going to find it is on Urban Dictionary.
There you go.
So it's not really a word.
Well, it's I think ain't a
word. Ain't wasn't a word until ain't was finally in the dictionary.
Well, yeah, you have a point. It's called compersion, C-O-M-P-E-R-S-I-O-N. And the interesting thing about it is that it relates to how you feel about someone, about your partner's pleasure that you have nothing to do with.
You're glad your partner just had sex with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Correct. In terms of having an open relationship.
Yes.
And I found the article very interesting to do a Reader's Digest condensed recap on it. Basically, they decided in the relationship to have an open relationship. She was the one that proposed it, was kind of more the, the instigator driving force of it. He considered himself a serial monogamous. He was never going to do anything, so on and so forth. But then he did. And the article, I thought, took an interesting twist about how she emotionally was really upset about it, even though she was the one that was perfectly cool with it to begin with and basically initiated, brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And what she says is that humiliation was the feeling that she had to deal with, and she had to figure that out. But I found it really intriguing, the concept of and very realistic. I thought it was a great article about how relationships and sexuality are not black and white.
Was that the first article? I thought that was the second article.
Huh. Anyway,
maybe I missed it.
Well, there's two articles and they're kind of the same. Kind of. They're both talking about open relationships from a female perspective. In a sense.
That's true, and I do have to say that I think Jeff is correct that I blended them.
But the this first article with the word compersion in it, I understand it, but I don't understand it. It's one of those weird things that I'm trying to wrap my brain around, even though I've encountered it. You know, Jim and I have been in an open relationship for a while, and one of the things that sometimes I enjoy is the fact that, he enjoys pleasure from other people, and he seems to be okay with the fact that I do as well, you know. One of the new aspects that we're dealing with is, as I've mentioned before, Jim has a boy now who is friends, we're friends with, and I'm friends with, and he's my little brother, blah, blah, blah. But there are aspects of our relationship that he has with the boy that I know I cannot fulfill. You know, it's I'm not as submissive as he would like me to be, or that he needs in to get out of that that relationship, that dynamic there. So that's one of the things where I'm okay with, because at least then he is fulfilling that need that he has without me feeling necessarily, you know, pissed off and jealous about it. Now, granted, the feelings will arise, obviously, but which will goes into the second article. But that's kind of what I like this article, but I don't like it just because it is that tackling that traditional view.
And I agree. And Jeff was correct that I was blending them together, and it's probably because they're both similar female voices. And the first article on compersion ends weirdly for me.
Oh.
Well, it kind of explains a little bit about how she's fascinated by the idea of sanctioning, you know, that your partner can derive pleasure from another person. You're okay with that, that compersion challenges the traditional concepts of the ideology that you're in a relationship and you're strictly committed to each other and there's nobody yeah. else, that kind of a thing. And she says she's seen how the whole relationship lockdown, quote unquote, as she says, breeds an almost viral tendency to take the other person for granted, mm-hmm. meaning to have like these huge expectations and all of it kind of delivers a sense of duty and obligation, which I found very interesting. It speaks to what we probably would call a traditional sense of probably a heterosexual relationship. I think same gendered relationships take on different aspects. But I don't know. I just found it very interesting that, you know, especially since it's on Huffington Post, I appreciate that they're much more, I guess, mainstream for an online publication, that they have no issues talking about, you know, things that are not average, I guess. Mm-hmm. And granted, they're like, you know, kind of more editorial style posts, but, you know, at least I know that that this is out there somewhere and it's being looked at. So, yeah, I don't know. I was like, I think it's interesting. I now want to see if I can determine the use of that, like in talking to others. You know, I'd never heard of it before. I don't know if it's an up and coming, like newer term, or perhaps others are already aware of it and I'm just, you know, catching on.
Or yeah. Up. I mean, where did she get the word? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. If it's not in the dictionary and some, or maybe it was already in the Urban Dictionary for some reason, she's like, well, there must be a definition for this somewhere. So she typed in the definition and got the word.
Hmm. I'm wondering. Sorry, I have to do my, like, because I have a dictionary.com app on my phone and I was looking it up there and I was like, nope, it's not there. So it's definitely not in the dictionary. But compersion doesn't sound like a word I would usually find on Urban Dictionary.
Which it is there. So, yeah. It, you know, obviously it's a term, quote unquote, that some people have come to an agreement on.
Wow. There's a big, long definition.
That's not necessarily the case. Because Urban Dictionary, you can, there's somewhere essentially you have the same definition three times with different examples in it, and it's more like Urban Dictionary is like almost like Wikishinary, if that's the right way of pronouncing it, because anybody can submit a word and definition for it, and some of the definitions are definitely not something that would be a actual dictionary definition, the wording and how they do it. So
interestingly, Google says 2008 so far is the oldest reference I'm finding. To an article. It's
been around for a while.
Well, I think it's caught on as of 2010 and 2013. Like, it kind of went in waves. But in October of 2008. What?
No, I'm just reading the very first definition that's on Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
Just the act of living vicariously through one of your... the one of your own girl boyfriends because they chose to abandon you and spend quality time with someone else. It is widely believed compersion is a self-preservation technique developed by individuals that self-identify as polyamorous.
Okay, now that's making it sound very negative.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's because especially with the definition saying abandon you.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily abandon you. They just had sex with somebody else.
Yeah.
You're my partner, but hey, this really hot guy was around and I just had to fuck him or something like that, you know?
Something like that.
Yeah, in October of 2008 on a Blogspot personal blog called Polyamory in the News, the article title is called Compersion for Beginners. And actually, I think it's taken from Tango Magazine, it says. And then there's a reference to another article called Compersion for Beginners. But what I like the most is there's a PS at the bottom. It says, American Buddhists have pointed out that the traditional Buddhist term mudita encompasses the concept of compersion, though much else as well. So I think this is not a brand new concept. It's more about people just trying to define it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I find interesting is in the Tango Magazine article they're referencing, it says, a lot of people hate it. They say it sounds clinical or stuffy or made up. The latter is certainly true. The word was invented during the 1970s in the legendary Carista Commune in San Francisco's Haight Ashbury district with the aid, according to those who were there, of a Ouija board. Oh, boy.
Well, weird. Well, it does sound like a real word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, okay, so... How did this word come about? If you actually take a look at it by a linguistical standpoint, how does that fit with etymology? Like you immersion, compersion, you know, you have these types of words. Why does it start with comp?
Hmm.
I don't know, but the article, this person's opinion says, compersion sounds like a blend of the words compassion and person and carries a ring of weight and awe, also appropriate.
Ah, so etymology.
Right. I think for them, they're not saying this is really where it came from, but I think they decided to be comfortable with their own concept of how the word came together or what it represents. So, yeah, I think – I don't know. I find it very interesting that the poly community created a word or came up with a concept to basically say this is the opposite of jealousy, because I think that's what most people think exists in a polyamorous relationship is that one person gets jealous of the others.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be true, I think they felt like a yin yang. There needed to be a balance to the other direction, which is why can we not find joy in our partner having joy with other people?
Hmm. Very, very true. Yeah. All right. So there's that article. The next one is, like I said, it's kind of on a similar vein, but not exactly. I like the title. Well, I don't like the title, but... why not have sex with people who aren't your partner? Infidelity is treated as selfish while monogamy is celebrated, but what's so great about living in self-denial? Also written by a woman, but ultimately she tells the story of how, you know, she found out her boyfriend has sex with another woman, even though she kind of said, yes, I want you to, and I kind of joked that you did, but if you do, at least be honest about it. And yeah, and like, okay, so they did it. Interesting choice, interesting article.
Yeah, so this is the one that I had blended in where she realizes her emotional state is about the fact that she is actually not comfortable with knowing that her husband on a business trip or on a vacation, whichever it was. He was in another city. A waitress gave him her name and phone number, and he took her up on it. The thing that bothered me the most out of the article, and I'm trying to find the line, it's towards the bottom. She says, sorry. She uses the word affair, and that really, like,
oh yeah,
rubbed me wrong, because my thought was, this isn't an affair. Like, the fact that you decided to use the word affair reveals how troubled you are by this. Because my personal definition is, an affair is something that happens without knowledge in a relationship.
True.
Like,
and I
go ahead.
I know, I agree with you. Like, you know, I believe, like, if you've agreed to be open, then someone going off, one of your partners going off and doing something with someone else is not an affair. It's kind of what you are not really supposed to do, but you can do. Whereas to me, an affair is kind of that like hush hush secret, you know, behind closed doors kind of thing.
Right. So it's in the final paragraph. She says that she and her partner husband are still together, still learning about boundaries and themselves, not actively pursuing other people, although they haven't ruled that out. What I find interesting is she says, I hope and suspect that if our relationship comes to an end, it will be the result of sincere self-reflection and honest assessment, not a blow up over sexual attraction to another person or a perceived sexual betrayal. And this is where she says, his affair in New York taught me that our relationship is durable and that I can be strong even while hurt. And she goes on, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, what? Whoa. Why are we calling it an affair? Like,
well, oh gosh. I mean, I'm trying to pinpoint this part of the story where she, I remember when she mentions it, and where did it go?
For those of you, while Damon's looking for it, it's a bit of a lengthy article, so that's why we're like making references to not following it. It's from March 4th of actually this year. I think it's a good article. It's just a bit wordy, so.
Yeah, see, this is kind of why I think she's just trying to come up with another word, because she said they had hit a sexual wall and they tried to do something to, you know, change that. And so together we decided that I would seek out another man, and though Jason would not necessarily look for another partner, he had license to seize the opportunity should it arise. And then that opportunity arose during a trip to New York when a waitress gave him her phone number.
Right.
So it's one of these, like, yes, he had the license, as she says, to do it, but I think she wasn't expecting him to. Even though he could, she wasn't expecting him to, because he had kind of made these points that he wouldn't do it or he couldn't do it.
Well, right. I think what the real situation that she's facing, and I think it happens in all relationships that go polyamorous, is if and I'm not saying, all right, I take that back. I don't think it happens in all polyamorous relationships, but I think it happens in a fair amount. You can give lip service and say that you're okay with being open, but until you truly have to face that, it's right there in front of you, you don't really know how you're going to handle it. You can, you can think about it. You can daydream about it. You can run through the idea of it. Do you know what I mean? You can work it out in your mind as many ways, as many times as you want, but until you're actually facing it, you don't necessarily know how you're going to handle that. And I tell that of everybody, you know, like, you can prepare for it in an inevitable, whatever that may be, but it's still going to be fresh, new, or different.
Yeah.
So I think that's really what happened, was she had said in her mind logically, my husband will never do this because he has an issue about germs and, you know, he's a serial monogamist and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, she gave a supporting list of items as to why he wouldn't do it. Then when he does do it, even though he had permission for it, I think that just upended her. She was like, well, wait a minute. And so I think that's more about, it truly is about herself, as opposed to him, who she's sharing her life with.
But I do like what some of these articles are trying to point out, that these are that open relationships, polyamory, whatnot are okay. They're not the norm, and you're going to get a lot of flack about it. And even us as gay men still see that, get that brush back from people. Although some of us tend to be a little bit more understanding and open to the ideas, there are still people in our community that just don't get it. They still don't get how people can be open when, you know, in a relationship and kind of thing. So,
well, and I think this article is good about bringing in a couple different resources or mm-hmm. ideas. So one of them is a book by Jenny Block called Open: Love, Sex, and Life in an Open Marriage. And the interesting thing is the author says relationships are hard no matter what the setup. And relationships don't complete me, meaning they don't complete a person. They complement you. And the hope is that partners will feel the same. Relationships should be about flexibility, not rigidity. They should be about love and not ownership. And I thought that was a really profound, quoting area to take out of the book, basically saying both partners should know themselves well enough and they should have an open, frank discussion as a couple as to how they feel about things. So that's where the strength in their relationship comes from, is from that knowledge of who they are and what they are. Because then she goes on, and I thought this was appropriate, that the dominant school of thought amongst, she says journalists, therapists, and the general public, is that there's a self-sacrifice kind of concept that comes up, and there's issues regarding self-control. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate and fair. Even in the gay community, more often than not, I see the struggle between individuals that believe you're going to be in love with one person and now you will marry them or shortly be able to legally marry them and have a house and pets and or kids, or you know what I mean? Like you'll be, I'm going to use a word and I really just can probably give me flack. I'll own it. You're going to be heteronormative.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That you're going to follow the model of the quote unquote American nuclear family concept. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the important thing I think about this is that you? Do you want that? And does your partner want that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think where it gets even grayer or foggier or muddier is when you want all of that and you want an open relationship. I think that's where people like that. I think that's probably the hardest thing to look at is to look at a happily married, same gendered couple with a home, with, two incomes, kids, pets, the whole thing. Oh, and they're open. I think that kind of breaks some people's brains because they're like, I do. I think they just, and that's a whole layer on top of, let alone just looking at a relationship and that it's open. Do you know what I mean? I think they're, people, especially if it's not for them or they've never thought about it. I think that's where they kind of get paused. But enough about that. I think the article is thought provoking, and I hope that folks check it out and kind of consider it and look into it a little bit further. But yeah, I agree. I think the article's title is notably what articles do. It's meant to get you to pay attention to it. That's why I clicked on it on Facebook when I saw someone linked and it said, "Why not have sex with people who aren't your partner?" I was like, "Well, hello, click." And then I'm like, oh, this is a big, long article by a woman, but it brings up some pretty good, thoughts.
Nice. Okay.
And then in world news, which I'm going to own, I'm not on the bandwagon of the earth-shatteringness of the news. I'll get to that a little bit later as we discuss it, but...
Well, here...
Go ahead.
I don't think this is necessarily earth-shattering. It's news. It's kind of interesting, but definitely not earth-shattering. I admit I didn't read the full article.
That's okay.
I don't feel like there's a... I never took anything from there saying, this is earth-shattering. Oh, my God, this has happened.
Well, I
it's like, oh, hey, check this out.
Here's the reason why I say that. The fact that we have to have an article talking about this thing that happened, that to me says we need to draw attention to it because it's unique and different. And then they go ahead and they admit in the very first paragraph, in the first sentence of the actual article, that this is what is thought to be. And that's the part that like kind of grinds my gears, is I'm like, this is not the first time. Sorry, not buying it. It's 2015. We've been around for what, 4,000, 5,000 years?
Something
more
like that.
as human beings. So this is not the first time. So now the audience is like, yeah, they're like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Excuse me.
So ultimately, it doesn't really have a title. I hate this title. Come on. That's not a title.
Well, and that's the other thing. So basically, three gay men from Thailand got married.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. Gay gasp. So three gay men in Thailand had what is thought to be the world's first three-way same-sex marriage. And that's the part that kind of grinds my gears. And I'm like, you're kind of playing it off like this is a big, big deal. And I'm like, well, it may be a big deal in Thailand where same-gender relationships are not recognized and they don't have legal same-sex marriage equality. They got married under a – let me look real quick. I think it's Buddhist tradition.
Yeah.
Which is not recognized by Thailand government. So they are married in Buddhist law, but that is not recognized. So that's kind of a thing. But that's where I'm like, I'm pretty sure in the past in human existence, three people of the same gender have been married together before.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to say
– documentation of this?
Well, here's the really weird thing is I've known a number of triads in my lifetime, and I'm pretty sure if I bothered to ask some of them, did you ever all have a commitment ceremony, whether it be a big public affair or with family or whatever? Do you know what I mean? I'm sure if I asked them, some of them would say, yeah, but you know,
well, the yeah, deal. But has it been documented?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the thing. I get what is happening here, and I get like why it's like a big fucking deal or whatever. But in my head, I don't get why it's, what is the purpose of putting this out in the news? Like not to be that guy, but like,
well,
why
is it really? So you're basically saying it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because just the way you said that in the fucking news.
Yeah. Like because if it were, and I know this is going to sound bad, but if it were legally recognized, I would probably be like, oh, this is a fucking big deal. But they say in the article that it is not. They make a point to state that although they were married by the Buddhist law thing, it's not really legally recognized. So to me, that's the same as three people doing a commitment ceremony. It's not really a recognized thing. And not even, maybe not even legally recognized thing. It's not really a legally recognized thing, but it's just something that they did, you know, and that's what it kind of sounds to me. Like we had a ceremony on Valentine's Day and we're three dudes and we got married. That's kind of what it is to me.
Well, like, I think
it gives it visibility.
Right. And I think the answer is actually at the very end of the article. It says, Joke, which is one of the three gentlemen, he said, now Thai society has a better understanding of sexual orientation as many same-sex weddings appear on TV, newspapers, and social media. We feel more accepted and able to come out. But I don't believe the world has ever seen three men marry before. This is something new. Most people all around us can accept that, and many people have given us their blessing. We love each other, and hopefully this is something the world can understand in the 21st century. So I think what he's saying is in their immediate world, especially for Thailand, this is unique. And so by having it photographed and having an article written about it and getting people talking about it, it's the first step in perhaps their closer part of the world Do you know what I mean? That this is a big deal. But I think us over here in the U.S., I realize we're sounding incredibly judgmental. We're like, who the fuck cares? Like, we're happy for you. But at the same time, we're like, okay, so you had a commitment ceremony and it's not legally recognized, but you're together. And okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's a big deal because A, North Korea, two, it's in the news. I mean, it's maybe not spectacular, huge, groundbreaking big deal, but it is something in what was it, North Korea or South Korea?
It's in Thailand.
Thailand. Never mind. I thought it was Korea for some strange reason. In any case, in Thailand, this, for some reason in Asian countries, my impression at least has always been anything dealing with gay is taboo. Mm. And then this comes up and it's like, okay, this is not, it's not about necessarily that three guys got married. It's that three guys got married in Thailand and it's news. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not, as I said, not groundbreaking news or anything, but it's news. It's something that's different, that's important to kind of show different things that are happening around the world and in different areas. What might normally not be acceptable being say, hey, look, these three guys, they love each other, they want to get committed, and they did it.
Hmm.
I mean, maybe not necessarily recognized by the law, but it's something that they were like willing to do. It's like, yeah, we want to get married, so we're gonna go through this ceremony at least.
And I think the history of their relationship is important, that there was two of them were together as a couple, which was Joke and Art. And then while they were a couple and had been living together for a handful of years, I think it says 5 years, Belle is, quote unquote, if you need to rank, like the third that comes into the relationship. What I thought was interesting is that they say Belle was hospitalized with a congenital disease. And since that moment, the three of them have been inseparable. And that kind of prompted the condition that they wanted to ask Belle's parents for his hand in marriage and that they wanted to be together as a triad. So to me, that was more important than the whole, we may be the first triad that gets married in the world. And like, no, I think it's more important that they basically said, listen, we were a couple and then we expanded into a triad. And one of our, you know, three individuals has, you know, an illness issue, and we realize how much we really truly care about each other because we had to face this, and we decided we wanted to take it to this level to be committed.
Hmm. I got it.
So yeah, and to be fair, their pictures are cute. I mean, I really do like, you know, the photography job that they had done. I was like, wow,
yeah,
good looking stuff. And notably, it's done in a way that I don't get the feeling that there's a, you know, a ranking kind of thing, you know, as to who is what, you know. And there's two different sets of photographs, and I really like the idea, and this is just an artistic thing, I loved that in the where they're wearing different colors, like, yeah. one is wearing like an ivory white, one is wearing like a light gray, and then the one is wearing like a darker, closer, not quite charcoal gray, like a heather gray. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute how they're, you know, shades of color, so to speak.
Shades of gray? Sorry. It was right there. I know myself.
Get in the corner. Anyway.
Sound effect when you need it, anyway.
Anyway.
So yeah, that's the third article, and then we'll move on to the fourth one. This one's about a year and a half old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
November of 2013, but I remember reading about it before, but it cracks me up to no end. So David, can you read the title?
Oh man, I love that it's from Seriously Science, but it says,
there's a question mark in that. Yeah, Seriously Science.
Yeah. Gay men's preferences for top versus bottom can be judged by their face. Yeah.
Excuse me. So basically, what it says is that a study was done with they recruited 23 participants, seven of which were female. So 16 men, seven female. And they were asked to look at 200 photographs of gay men found on an online dating site. 100 of those photographs were of tops. 100 of those photographs were bottoms. And the 23 participants were to, just by looking at them visually, try to determine their sexual role.
Mm-hmm.
And the takeaway is, which is – this is the funniest part to me by far, is more than statistical chance?
Yeah.
Were they correct? But it's not overwhelming. It's not like 100% of the time they got it right. It's not like 90% of the time they got it right. Like a statistical chance I think is like 50% maybe. So it has to be like more than half they got correct.
Yeah.
And then they talk about the fact that, you know, as it's quote unquote, it says, as you might have guessed, the participants were using cues related to masculinity. For example, thick eyebrows, large noses to make their choices. The authors conclude with this tantalizing suggestion. It is possible that similar effects may be found in opposite sex relationships where women may be able to identify submissive versus dominant men for brief observations of appearance or behavior. So the reason it cracks me up is basically they're saying is you can look at somebody and you can determine if they're dominant or submissive, which somehow relates to whether they take it or whether they give it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Actually, yeah. I don't like this article and that it makes too many presumptions. I understand that they did a study and whatnot, but I just – there are too many presumptions in this article, and it's probably – we chose the tops and bottoms based – the tops and bottoms were based on like they went to a website and they grabbed probably photos of people. And it's like, well, what if someone – I don't know. I've never been a big fan of these. Like I'm going to study and I'm going to use physical attributes. I know it's more than that, you know. And what about the verse people, like the versatile people?
Well, but they didn't include them, and that would have thrown off the study. The point
exactly.
is, can you look at a person, can you look at a man and determine if he's a top or a bottom? Now, let's be honest. I've done it. I've been doing it for shit. Like, I don't know how many years, 20 some years, 30 years? No, I'm not that old yet. ever since I came out and determined for myself and then I met other men, whether I see them in a bar, I see them online or whatever. Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? When I'm going through Tumblr, there are times I'm looking at a picture and I'm like, I wonder. And there are other times where I'm like, oh yeah, there's no doubt. Now, granted, their position in the photograph on Tumblr may kind of give away their role, but you know, and to be fair, I've met some men where I thought they were one and then I find out they're the other, you know, they're for lack of a better description, hyper masculine. So, they're very hairy, have a thick, full beard, have a very masculine kind of like presence about them, physique, the whole bit. And there's a part of me that's like, he's very much the, you know, demographic of what I'm looking for in my life, whether it be for a short time or a very long time. What?
Top.
Yes. And then you find out that he's only a bottom. And I'm like, bah.
Disappointment.
Well,
hold on. You can get over to the there. Come on. There we go. A little delay, but still.
Yeah. So I think the article is, to me, amusing. I realize it's meant to be taken serious because it's science. It's a study. They actually studied this. And there's a part of me that's like, all you got to do is talk to gay men.
Tell me something. Can you tell if somebody's a top or bottom by their face? Most of the time.
I don't know. It depends. Am I looking at their face while they're showing me their chocolate starfish? I mean.
I can't even. I'm just.
if you believe in it, yes, I know I'm going to hell.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there's more to it than that, and that's sort of probably why I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of, you know, but at the same time, I guess I can admit that I probably have done it too, you know. At least, you know, but I don't know if I'm necessarily looking at their face and I'm not looking at their ass. I don't, you know, I'm probably looking more at their butt if they got a nice butt. But at the same time, I'm realizing I was having this issue last night. I was at an event and I had someone literally, like he kept approaching me and grabbing my ass and he was like, oh, I went all up in that. And I'm like, no, I appreciate your interest, but I'm not a bottom. I didn't say that to him, but it's kind of like, I appreciate your interest, but no, like the only thing that's even possibly going up there is a tongue or a finger, you know. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, I like the first comment on here. As a bisexual male, when I read about these kind of studies, I'm always astounded that people conducting them have such a limited, ignorant approach to LGBT people. They always admit the obvious case in point. What about first men? For the uninitiated, there are at least three paradigms for men who sleep with other men. Technically, there are four, if you account for those that don't engage in anal intercourse at all. Top, bottom, versatile. Those like me who enjoy both the insertive and receptive roles. He goes on more. By the way, it's not four. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five. I count.
Go on. I got four. I don't know what the fifth is.
It would be six if you didn't count what he's saying about not engaging in anal intercourse.
Okay.
But there's top, bottom, verse, top verse, basically mostly top, or first bottom, or mostly bottom.
Hmm.
Okay. I think he was saying that the fourth is oral only.
Right. That would make mine total six.
Okay.
Hmm.
Because you got to account for the mid range between that versatile and one range. It's really a continuum, and you are somewhere on that scale.
Agreed. I think that that's the part where the study kind of I go meh. Because I think that they're not recognizing a continuum at all. I think they're just saying it's either black or white, and we're all over here going, hello, no.
No.
And there's, even in the straight world, I would say that even in the straight world, there is no like specific roles.
Yeah.
Because you could still have a versatile woman.
Yeah.
And with a man. Man likes to be a bottom, but with a woman. Requires, you know, extra accessories, but still.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think I find it intriguing. I don't know if it's because of my age, meaning the older I get, the more I'm aware of, or if it's truly that the world is slowly society is coming, you know, more into its evolution that men are okay with, you know, discovering that part of their body and they're okay with it. They're not gay. They don't see themselves as gay. They don't interact physically with other men, but they have no problem, you know, receiving from a woman with say a strap on. I don't know. I'm perfectly okay with that because I'm like, well, good. I want everyone to be happy, you know? And so if that's going to bring you more of that into your life, then so be it.
I'm with that.
Alrighty. Yeah.
Let's do, hold on. Sure. It's going to work. This. Absolute fire. Absolute fire. Absolute fire. Gary, what do you got for us?
I have a picture.
Shit.
I know. I was about to say I have a, and then I was like, oh, but it's just a picture of, it's a ginger daddy.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I dedicate this one to one of my besties in Cincy. I'm not going to name him on the podcast, but I know when he sees this, he'll definitely probably reblog it, but. And here's the best part of the whole picture. He's standing there. It appears to be in the bathroom. There's a cute little rubber ducky on the shelf, if you notice it. But the best part of the whole picture is that he's wearing glasses.
Yeah. Well, he needed to see the camera.
Well, he's buck-ass naked. Nice, you know, furry chest. Gorgeous, like, cinnamon sugar beard. Nice ink work on his bicep. Nice everything. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm just totally, like, tripping on the glasses. I'm like, that's hot. Like, he's hot. But there's something about the glasses that are completely, I don't know. Call it Clark Kent syndrome. I don't know. It's
I like him. I like the glasses.
Hello, Clark. Do you know Superman? Wink, wink.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a ginger daddy, and he's got nothing to do with the theme of the show, and I don't care, because.
Yeah, I don't think mine does either.
I take one to go. That's how I look at that.
One ginger daddy to go.
Speaking of, David, what's your Tumblr pick?
Mine is titled the same as what it's called. The DS Player of the Year. It's a cute bear playing on his Nintendo DS or something, some game console. And he's in the laundry room. Hmm?
It is a DS. That's why
they good.
Nintendo DS.
Cool. I don't have one, so I don't know.
Neither do I, David. It's okay. We're too busy focusing on he's.
I don't know.
He's a gamer and
he's doing
laundry, and while he's doing laundry, he's playing games. And
yeah,
you know, and better naked. Way to do laundry. Yeah, I mean, when you're doing laundry, you kind of want to be as least clothed as possible because hey, you're doing laundry, so
yeah, might as well get all the clothes clean.
Which becomes a huge struggle when I'm at the laundromat.
Yes.
And the funniest thing to me about this is, I'm like, oh, now see, if we were boyfriends, mm-hmm. you could try to pay attention to the DS. I'm sure I'm going to distract you big time.
Yes. Yes,
well, that's what I was. One, he's on the washer. Which, if it's going, it's also going shaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he could probably lean forward a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or put his butt forward a little bit more to give mm-hmm. better access. And then the trick would be to play the Nintendo while riding a lot of the washing machine while getting a blowjob and maybe some rimming.
Hmm.
See, I consider it a challenge. My goal is to attract you enough to put the damn DS down and enjoy what's happening.
And he might. Or you might not. And that's okay.
Or it's that challenge and thrill of
being
able to have all three things happening at once.
Huh. The only thing I could see getting in the way is that bucket. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's hanging on a hook. It's easily movable.
Yeah. Like, move the hanger
or move the bucket. Got some clothes or towels to his right, which...
Yeah. Well, that's for the cushion. Mm-hmm. Or whatever else might go
over on. The controls over the back of the controls of the washing machine.
There you go.
Because I don't know. Having one of those knobs poking into your back, that would be distracting from everything.
Yeah. That's what you put. That's why you put the towels down.
Right.
For cushion. And then you lean them back a little bit, and then, oh. Huh. And he's got that shaved head and beard thing going, which I always love, and a nice chest nipple piercing, and some ink work, and yeah, I would totally take care of him. He would not need DS, like Gary said. Like, here, let me entertain you. All righty.
Mm-hmm. Guess what, guys? That's the end.
That's the show. Yeah.
Anyways, find us. Pop over to CubsOutLoud.com, where not only do you get one podcast, but you get two podcasts for the price of one. Free. Although, if you want to help us out, you can use that Amazon search box and start doing some shopping through Amazon through that link. If you want to donate to the show, we appreciate that very much. All that can be found at CubsOutLoud.com, with not just Cubs Out Loud, but you also get the COL Drag Race with Shanika Dupree. I don't know what her name is yet. Yeah, I got any questions, comments, concerns? Otherwise, you can contact us. Shoot us an email. It comes out loud at gmail.com. Pop over to our Facebook page. Give us a like. We appreciate that very much. Comment and post there. You can also join the COL Entourage Facebook group. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Google.com/+CubsOutLoud. There's also the COL Entourage group there. You also have BearUnderground.net, which I think there's another person, which I totally forgot to check on, who is joining us. We'll talk about that next week. Also, don't forget, we're on YouTube on occasion. Check it out at Cubs Out Loud or youtube.com/CubsOutLoud. You can see all of our past shows. You can see the lovely face of Hadrian McQuaig. And Gabe. And Gary and Damon. So kind of got everything covered. Also, pop up to iTunes, give us a review. 5-star, 4-star, whatever. We'll read it on the show. Also, StitcherRadio.net. Hey, guess what? We can actually find it. So we can actually see your review. We had one about a year ago. Let's get another one on there. Hey, that was 5 stars. Let's get another one on there.
Yeah,
that's 5 stars, please. But you can rate us whatever you want, really. You can find me anywhere on the internet as box.box, puppy box, cup box, something or other.
I am TheaterCup79 on Bear401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, Hefnynet. I think that's it. Yeah.
And I'm pretty much known anywhere on the internet as GearBear73. That's GearBear73.
And with that,
say goodnight, everybody! Good night!
Y'all have a good one!
Yeah.
Hey, another long show.
Woohoo!
It's a short show today.
We're starting a whole new trend. By the time we go back to a long show, people will be like, what the hell?